This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Wednesday, September 25, 2024, the memorial of Saints Cosmas and Damian, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Who's at the readings today? The Old Testament, Book of Wisdom, Gospel of Matthew. We see our Lord using examples from this world, and they're high-end examples. We need to be careful when we read such passages. I mean, the first one, it speaks of those who have been killed and tortured for faith's sake. And then in Matthew, we hear about not fearing those who will kill you and torture you for my name's sake. We can kind of shut down, not say kind of, we will shut down occasionally, because particularly in North America, where we don't worry all that much about people crucifying us or setting us on fire or throwing us to animals. But we never want to lose sight of the fact that in the 20th century, there were more martyrs than every other century of the church's existence before. And doesn't look like this century is going to be particularly better. So we do need to keep that in the back of our minds. But again, we live here and that kind of stuff doesn't happen. Well, it doesn't mean we shut down on passages like this, because I'm always emphasizing the fact that when we read Scripture, you just don't read it for what it says on its face. You read it and you prayerfully consider it. You're like, how does this apply? And you want to look at what our Lord Jesus Christ is saying, how he says it, not just what he's talking about. Because if we just go there, as I said, we can lose sight. Because in both of these passages today, a common thread in them is approaching things in this world in a more grand scheme of things than what's going on right here and right now. We are, unfortunately, very, very present tense creatures. What's going on right here and what right now? If it's bad, oh no, we got to change this. This couldn't be any good because it's not good for me. We need to change this right now. Or if it's good, it's a matter of just looking at the good thing and not looking at the one who gave the good thing. And a lot of times, and this is unfortunate, we can think something's good, and it's generally, I don't say generally, it can oftentimes be a sinful thing, but it sure seems good, and we won't take into any consideration what might happen in the future. We'll just do it right now. This is what I mean about present tense people. Our Lord has said, don't always be thinking about things in the present tense. For instance, in the Book of Wisdom, he talks about, and this is first and foremost the motif of what he's saying in Wisdom, the rewards that await us the faithful, are our souls being in righteousness, that our souls are in the hand of God. And it's very interesting that, because remember, we are very creatures of the present tense. What's going on right here, right now? God is not like that in any way, shape, or form. For one thing, God is not bound by linear time like we are. He does not have a point A and a point B, a start and an end. God is eternal. Linear time is an aspect of the created order. Before everything was created, that was part of it, linear time. Before that, in heaven, there is no linear. This is why every time we celebrate the Eucharist, we can say with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, that's everybody who has lived before us, people who are alive down here now, and people in the future, because God doesn't see things the way we see them. He sees them in an ever-present now. This is why we say that the barriers of time and space go away during the sacrifice of the Mass. We are not giving God a history lesson on what his Son did for us. We are representing Christ on Calvary
to God at that moment. God doesn't look down and hear our prayers thinking about what Jesus has done prior to. He looks down and hears our prayer. And this is why you want to pray for all of your intentions, particularly at Holy Mass. Because during the Holy Sacrifice, God is hearing your prayers and he's looking at his son suffering and dying on the cross. We're just representing it to in a bloodless manner. Bloodless for us, not for God. He's looking at his son dying on the cross. This is why he answers our prayers in the Mass. This is what our Lord's trying to get across here. Even look at the tenses of God. He talks about the souls of the faithful are in the hand of God. Not will be when you die. Your soul is in the hand of God after your baptism. Is it going to be in a much more intense way, in a much more fruitful way after you die? Yes, if you maintain a life of faith and obedience. And did God know you before the foundation of the world? Did Jesus Christ think of you by name while he was hanging on the cross? Yes, he did. So we get this whole God past, present, and future thing going on. No torment will ever touch them. That's a future tense thing because there are a lot of people who have suffered, are suffering, will suffer and die for the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is just reality of things. The faithful will abide with him in love. And so again, he presents all these things to us in that very little package, past, present, future. It is so detrimental because we're like that. It is so detrimental. Look at Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, what would happen if we would just take a little time to meditate or contemplate about the situation at hand? Look what happened to Eve. She's sitting there where she should not have been, hanging around the tree that God told her not to touch of or eat of. And, you know, and remember, Adam and Eve were created in holy perfections. They were created with infused knowledge. They had graces that surpass anything that we can consider. Their reason was not corrupted by sin. They thought very, very specifically about that. But Satan starts messing around with Eve, teasing her mind, and what happens? What should have happened? Even if she was going to hold discourse with him, because he is the shining one, there you knew no sin, so when somebody comes around and talks to them, she's going to have discourse with. But when he starts making her question what God says, even if she was going to entertain, because it's not wrong to entertain, particularly in those days, remember, there's no sin. For us to entertain discussion with sin, that's a different thing. She's just sitting there speaking with the shining one. And as soon as he starts questioning what God said and making her question what God said, what would have happened if she had just taken a moment? What would have happened if she just, you know what? You bring up some good points. And I really, really love the way that looks. And I bet you it does taste really good. But God has said not to do it. I know you told me that I will surely die. He said we're surely. Let me go home and talk to Adam about this. If she just had it taken a moment, just a moment, go home, talk to Adam. Because you go to Adam, and I'm not saying that Adam was so much smarter than her. Adam went, really? He said that? Yeah. Yeah, and he's the shining one. You know what? And if Adam had taken a moment, he'd go, let's go ask God. Let's go tell on the shining one. Let's go tattletale on him for telling us to do things that God told us not to do. If they had just taken a moment, what would happen? We don't know. Because why? They didn't take a moment. They didn't take a moment. Yeah, that tree looks good. Yeah, it does look good. Look at that. Take a bite. Yeah. Spontaneity. Spontaneity. I'm always emphasizing, particularly the confessional, spontaneity is not the friend of the Catholic. We need to take a moment. We need to step back and think. It's so sad. You talk about Bible stuff, Adam and Eve, and things like that. Look at our own lives. You look at people you know. Everybody has dealt with this in a certain way, shape, or form. When you put stuff off, I will use the P word, procrastinate, because that sounds negative. We have a tendency to put stuff off. And sometimes it really seems like there's a good motive for putting things off. One of the times I hear a whole lot is when people are going to put off their marriage. oh, we're going to get married, and you know, we're going to hang, and, you know, we love one another so much, everything like that. We're going to wait 3 or 4 years before we get married. I'm like, that is problematic. You're putting yourself in a near occasion. You're loving one another, and you're so close that you're engaged now, and you want to hang out for 4 more years. But I need a job. A better job. I need to be making the $50K a year before, because I want to provide for her and things like that. It's like, really? Part of being a newlywed is being poor, okay? I mean, it's one of those things. It lends some cohesion to the whole, you know, the better or worse, richer or poorer thing. My mom and dad used to talk about it. My uncle would come to their house right after they got married. They had nothing. She was a mom of the 60s. She didn't work. She didn't even have any kids at this time. She doesn't work. My dad had a very menial job at the time. And we'd just sit around. They wouldn't eat in the day. They wouldn't have any breakfast. They wouldn't have any lunch. And my uncle would come, and he would have a box of pizza. You know, there'd be like half a pizza in there. Hey, you want some? Pride, not just for the moment, but pride. You know, no, we're good. Okay. And he would leave. You know, he'd get done with the pizza and there'd be the pizza bones left and stuff like that. You chuck it with the trash guy. My parents used to say, he'd leave and we would get in the garbage can and take out that pizza box and eat them. They had that story. I mean, at the time, I'm sure it wasn't cool for them, but you know, later on in life, they actually used it as an example for us. You pay attention to yourselves. Don't be prideful. Somebody offers you something, you go ahead and you jump on that. Why? Because we're prideful. We're people of the moment. And, you know, we don't understand that you can actually benefit from these negative times in life. To understand that, you know, we're going to keep off our marriage for 3 or 4 years. I mean, that's not a number I came up with by accident. I dealt with somebody here a few years ago with that. We're going to wait 3 or 4 years. What happens when you wait 2.5 years, 3 years? And it's like, oh, you got the job. And then when did you get killed in a car crash? You waited. You're not married. You didn't get to spend that time with one another. And look, all kind of things can happen. You know, again, you learn to get very, very close when times are tight. And you struggle. So we got to understand. This is what our Lord said. We get this high end. Fear not the ones who can kill the body, but fear the one who can destroy your body and soul in hell. You just don't leave it at that. Our Lord is, the message is, do not fear anything in this world that can interfere with your faith. You must be stalwart in your faith no matter what. Most of us don't have to worry about somebody killing our bodies. Hardly none of us. Is there not a thing on our radar screen on this continent anyway, that somebody could come and kill us for our faith? So we don't want to lose it right there. Our Lord, if he says in that context, this is what we need to understand. When he's presenting something in that context and that intensely, man, I don't have to worry about that. But what is that? If he tells you not to worry about that, should you be worrying about anything in this world? Could you imagine what you would feel? No, we can't even imagine. We cannot imagine. Some people that maybe have been in combat and things like that can know what it's like when you go, okay, when I go through that door, I just might be before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not something you want to relive frequently, although you might have to. You get that in the back of your mind. If there's there's a bunch of people waiting outside with sticks and rocks, and when we go out there, they're going to kill us for our faith. And if we don't go outside, they're going to set this place on fire. We're all going to burn to death. You know, we'd be like all kind of things. We go, our Lord, fear not that. So if you're not supposed to fear stuff like that, what I would. Oh, I lost the job. Oh, had a tiff with the spouse. Oh, fear not. Fear not. Be attentive to your faith. By virtue of our baptism, we have pledged faith to our Lord. We promised Well, I was a baby when I was baptized. You repeat it at your confirmation. And you repeat it every time we renew our baptismal vows at Easter Vigil and all these other times. We pledged faithfulness to God. And then when we get, when he throws us a little bit of a test, all that, oh, I want to do that. This is our human nature. It doesn't matter what's going on in this world. God loves us. And he's there for us. And his providence is active in our lives. We need to understand that. That's why he goes through that whole thing. You know, look at sparrows. If you ever pay any attention to birds, there's not a whole lot of worries in a bird's life. You fly around, pick up some seeds, catch a bug every now and then, go home to the nest, hang out. Do not worry about, you know, going to work the next day. Don't worry about this, don't worry about that. Sparrows, and your Lord takes, not one of them falls from the sky without the knowledge of your Father. Not one. And, you know, you human beings, every single one of you that's taken in air, you bear the image of likeness of God. Sparrows do not. And our Lord takes care of them. And they don't worry about one thing. They don't worry about one thing. And you human beings bear the image and likeness of God. And you Christians, you just don't bear the image and likeness of God. You've pledged faith to me, and I've pledged my faith to you. This is the whole, that's that whole formula right there. Better are you than many sparrows. We need to understand, when bad things are happening to us, this still applies. You know, and even in our, again, our from our perspective that, oh my gosh, something bad's happening to me. Just don't, after you get blindsided and after you pick yourself up and dust yourself off, do not stay in the fetal position. You get up and you, okay, this is really bad. Hey, Lord, help me out with this. And what am I supposed to learn from this? This is the way we, that's how a person of faith approaches such things. We need to live our lives as if we have heaven on our minds. That is the ultimate destiny. It's not things here. Today, the memorial of Saints Cosmas and Damian, we hear their names every single Mass. In traditional Masses, every single time you celebrate Mass, that first list of saints, those are the two names that you hear at the end, Cosmas and Damian. Cosmas and Damian, why are their names last? If you look at it, the first part of the list is the apostles. And then the start of the second part of the list are various popes and deacons and people, martyrs, who did things like that. But they're generally all Romans. And the couple that aren't Romans are converted Jews who converted to Christianity. And then you get Cosmas and Damian. They were not Romans. They were not Italians. They were Arabs. They were Arab physicians. And Cosmas and Damian were the prime example of living your life in this world, not even paying attention. Again, a lot of this stuff. Don't pay attention to the bad things. They didn't even pay attention to the good things. They were both physicians. And it doesn't matter what era you live, physicians make decent money. They've got a skill that everybody wants, and everybody will pay a whole lot of money for the treatment of a physician. They're both physicians. Their entire medical careers, you don't ever see that taking money from anyone for anything. Well, that sounds kind of dumb. You can make a lot of money. It's not wrong to make a lot of money. No, it's not wrong to make a lot of money, but they just had a heroic and extraordinary approach to what they did. We don't want money in this world. We don't want it. Keep it. We are doing this for the glory of God, because we know that the Holy Spirit has blessed us, because they're miraculous cures, not just their medical knowledge, but miraculous cures. And so we have these two guys who lived this their entire life focusing on nothing but the glory of God. And I'm sure God rewarded them greatly for what they did. Yeah, he did. Yep. They were crucified. They were crucified. You know, you think of our Lord's crucifixion, how horrible that was. They nailed them to the crosses, and then they threw stones at them for an extended period of time. And when everybody got tired of throwing stones at them, they had some soldiers shoot them with arrows. And they still didn't die. So they sent some soldiers over there to cut their heads off with swords while they were hanging on the cross. That was the reward in this world that they got. And now the way the worldling looks at it, you go, oh, that was horrible. Well, see, what difference is it made? You should have just made a lot of money. At least they would have been rich before they got martyred. No, because our Lord Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Sometimes people do such an extraordinary job that not only does Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, confess you before the Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit will confess you before men down here. This is why at the end of every first list of saints, we hear Cosmas and Damian. This is how glorious and extraordinary and heroic their approach was to not looking at the here and now and to look at the future in heaven. This is what our Lord wants us to understand. We don't have to worry one little bit about what happened to them happening to us. Our high end is, oh, somebody might shoot me. It's really quick. Okay? You ain't got nobody nailing you to a cross and throwing rocks at you, cutting your head off and shooting you with arrows and stuff. So if they endured that for the cause of Christ, how easy do we have it? How easy do we have it? How much easier we have it than them or any other of the martyrs who stood firm in the faith? It should make us weep when we consider how quickly we turn away from our faith in the most absolutely trivial of trials in this world. It should really shame us. I mean that in the purest of senses. It should really make us ashamed of who we are. So, you know, when you consider this, you know, listen to what our Lord speaking about, Old and New Testament. Do not live for the present. Do not dwell on the past for which you cannot do one thing to change it. And don't be paying too much attention to the future aside from heaven, because we don't even know if we're going to have it this afternoon. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Ghost.